I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/achieve today.
Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. How to get 30, 30, how to get 30, how to get 20, 20, 20, how to get 20, 20, how to get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month? Sold!
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here, and it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. Hello Fresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. Hello Fresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at hellofresh.com.
The Brown Park Podcast is brought to you by Grow Clinics. They're Australia's leading hair transplant clinics, and you can go to growclinics.com.au.
G'day, mates. What's news? Today we are talking to a meditation guru.
Oh, can't wait. I'm going to feel nice and relaxed after this one.
He's going to give us some tips on how to meditate, what it does for you, and it's actually something that can help you in your day-to-day life. His name is Luke McLeod, and he's on the show today.
The Brown Park Podcast.
Question.
Hit me.
You've recently gotten into meditation a little bit.
I have, a little bit.
Yeah.
A little bit. I mean, I've tried it in the past, but I've never been able to do it. Like, my brain was always too quick.
I'm the same. You also, up until recently, didn't know you had ADHD.
Nah, correct. Which I guess makes things even more difficult.
So that's probably why you couldn't relax.
Mm, for sure.
And your brain couldn't. Have you taken the meds today?
I have, thank you.
Good, should be a good show.
you can tell when I haven't. What? Oh, sorry, where are we now?
But yeah, so you've actually tried to set yourself up for a bit of a meditation.
I have. So I recently bought, it's called a sleep headset. So essentially it's like almost like a sweatband, but it's got inbuilt Bluetooth headphones in it,
yep.
And they're flat so you can sleep on your side and you can move around.
Yeah.
And I've been listening to this audiobook that's just meditation, so it helps you get to sleep. And then while you're sleeping, it's feeding your mind with, you know, positive affirmations and
Do you think it works?
I've definitely noticed, and even my wife says I'm a bit calmer, so it's been great. Not calmer, calmer.
that's a whole different story.
Yeah, it is. So, you know, it's been great.
Okay. And so what do the affirmations tell you?
It can be, I mean, look at me stumbling because I don't want to come across like a hippie, but it says things like good things happen to me.
Is it just repeat it? So it's like, good things happen to you.
No, well, it goes like this. It'll be like, I am calm, calm, calm. Good things happen to me, me. Things like that. So I mean, it's got a bit of an echo. So it is quite soothing, but it's like a 4-hour audiobook. And sometimes I wake up and it's done. And I went, far out. I reckon I was asleep within 10 minutes of it. So what have I been absorbing over the last 4 hours?
I reckon it'd be as creepy as fuck to have somebody in your ears going, you are a good boy, boy, boy.
You like barely scratches.
Luke McLeod, welcome to the show.
G'day, guys. How are we doing?
Or should we be sort of more like, Luke McLeod, welcome to the show.
No, not at all. I think you'll find with me, and one thing I really try to do is to try to normalize meditation and mindfulness and really kind of pull out a lot of that woo-woo-ness that can often get associated with it. So, I'm very, very much okay with talking like a normal person.
How does somebody fall into the realm of meditation and mindfulness? How did you specifically get to this point? Because you're known for this now.
Yeah, yeah. The reason why I got into it, I think, is quite different to how most people are introduced to it. And what I mean by that is I think most people are either introduced it from, say, a friend, a family member, or even their doctor or a GP or someone that says, hey, like, you're too stressed out, you're too anxious, try some meditation, right? Yeah. So I think that's how most people hear about it or are introduced to it. For me, it actually came about probably about close to 20 years ago now. And I was really into, I still am, into personal development and researching a lot of what high-performing people do in their lives, like what makes them the best at who they are and what they do. And all these people who I really looked up to, what I found out was a lot of them meditated. Yeah. And I was like, okay, that's interesting. Because at the time, I always thought that meditation, kind of how we started things off, was for hippies that lived in Byron Bay and,
yeah, that's it. Yeah.
You know, had a pet goat and grew veggies.
And ate the mushrooms.
Veggies in commerce. Yeah.
That's right. Yeah. So I thought, but hold on a sec, like the likes of like Steve Jobs and Muhammad Ali and like the best of the best.
Yeah.
Said that they meditated regularly and it was a big part of how and why they were successful. So I was like, geez, okay, well, if these guys are doing this, then there's got to be something to it more than what the, you know, those spiritual folk talk about. Mm. So I used it for almost about 5 years as a performance tool, to be honest with you, like to really help me out with work and to help me feel more focused and productive. And I did find it actually did do that. I felt clearer throughout my day. I felt like I was getting more done and wasn't procrastinating as much. And then it wasn't until probably about 5 years after I was using it in that manner, a series of things happened in my personal life which kind of imploded. And, yeah, I had one of those eat, pray, love moments where I booked a one-way.
You became Julia Roberts and went off to the...
Pretty much, almost. Yeah, I booked a one-way ticket to India. That's how it actually
went. Oh, wow. Okay, so you did. Did you really? Good job.
Yeah, I did.
Yep.
Yeah. So there's a story behind that as well if you want to get into it.
No, but, yes, we do.
Yes, we do.
When you're talking about kicking off meditation, when you first started, was it a challenge to get into meditation? Because I've tried it in the past and I've gotten into it recently and we'll talk about it later on, but how did you go kicking it off? Because it's difficult, right?
It is, yeah. I think like with anything which is really kind of worth doing, most of the time it's pretty difficult to start off with. Like, you know, I remember when I first started surfing and for 6 months it was such a punish because I was just like, man, this is so bloody hard. I just want to get up and cut across the wave.
It looks so easy.
And it does when people know what they're doing, right?
Yeah.
It's the same thing with meditation, right? It's...
Yeah.
It's one of those, just like anything else, it takes a bit to get the hang of. And but if you stick with it, it can do pretty incredible things.
I always find that I just can't stop my brain.
Mm. Yeah.
And the outside noise.
That's a good thing. You don't want your brain to stop, right?
Some people say that it already has.
Well, he's a bit slow, Luke.
No. But this is a good point because it's a very common term, and it's all about like, you know, meditation is switching off the brain or off the mind. And I'm like, no. It does the opposite. Yeah, what meditation actually does is actually switches it on.
Mm. Yep.
And even just looking at it from that perspective, a lot of those people who have a busy mind or like go, I can't get my mind to switch off, as soon as they just have that shift in how they see it and approach it, that in itself can be huge. And then once you have that approach, you're a lot more comfortable, you're excited, and it's going to be a whole lot easier if you have that approach to it. So if that's what you're struggling with, I can't get my mind to switch off, first and foremost, shift it to like, okay, well, let's see this as something that's switching my mind on. When the mind is on in its natural state, in its peak performance, it's actually quite quiet.
Because you're focused.
And, that's right. It's very similar to what they call the flow state.
Yeah.
I'm sure you've probably experienced this in multiple times throughout your life. The best way or the best example I can use is like when you're performing some type of sport, right, and you just feel like you're in flow. Like for me, at certain times when I was playing basketball, and there was so much happening on like around me, it was so busy, so loud, like a grand final or something like that. Like everyone's cheering and that, but you just feel like you're plugged in.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
And it just feels like everything around you is quiet. And it almost feels like time is slowing down because you're fully focused, you're in the moment, and that's that meditative state. It's very similar.
Well, that's so like surfing. Like when yeah. I surf, the water can be freezing cold, but as soon as you get on that wave and you start surfing, you don't even actually think about any of that. Like everything absolutely disappears. So I guess that's similar to being
very meditative.
State. Yeah, yeah.
I've got to discover this thing that you call sport.
Yeah,
it doesn't have to be sport. It could be something else. It could be reading. You know, when you're like fully engrossed in a book.
I've got to discover this thing called reading.
It makes you wonder how he came so far.
What do you like doing?
You know what he likes doing? He likes sleeping.
Yeah, sleeping's good.
Well, the Dalai Lama said that sleep is the best form of meditation. So there you go.
Well, okay. On that, Luke, about 2 months ago, I bought this sleep headset, and I've been listening to meditation when I go to sleep. And it's like this subconscious stuff because I started a new job recently, and I went, all right, I just need to come in with a calm mindset, and I've been using it, like I say, for 2 months, and I didn't realize how much it was actually working until my wife said, I've never seen you so calm going into a new job.
And that's probably one of the best indicators of noticing the changes that meditation can have in you is when other people point that out, because it can be quite difficult and hard to pick up on that ourselves, right? It's not a physical transformation like you're going to the gym and you can see the difference. It's quite an internal shifts and changes.
We recently went away and had to share a room, and he had this thing on his head. And I desperately tried to hack it to try to log in and change his meditation to something else.
You're
to
a like, strong, you know, independent woman.
Like the Friends episode. But it was something just obscure. Could not work it out. It was so annoying because I just wanted to change it, put on death metal or something like that just to really shake him up.
Now, hijacking someone's Bluetooth speaker is pretty funny. Like if you're at a park or something like that and they've got an open sort of Bluetooth, you can connect with them and start playing whatever you want, and that's pretty.
I did see there's, and look, we're totally getting derailed here, but hey, let's do it. Yeah. There was a guy put a Bluetooth speaker in his dad's suitcase, and just before he dropped it off to the bag drop, he put these sex sounds on. So his dad was walking his suitcase through the airport with
classic. I love it.
I've got to do that to Christo next time we travel.
Yeah,
I've got to, so check your bag,
make a mental note of that.
But anyway, Luke, your life imploded and you've got a one-way ticket to India.
It was. I did have one of those moments, and what I talk about in the book, I really hope that people don't have to get to that point to do something like that. Big message and what I try to get across in the book is starting meditation to avoid burnout or avoid having that sort of breakdown moment, because it's really one of those two things. People either have to get to a point where they're almost forced to do something about it, whether it's see a therapist, whether it's, you know, take a trip to India, something that really kind of breaks them to be able to break through. And it's a shame because I think there's a lot that we can do preventative measures to help us deal with a lot of stuff before it gets to that point.
Brown Park.
I want to say a big thanks to Grow Clinics for their continued support of the Brown Park podcast. And are you noticing a receding hairline or a widening part? Hair loss is a common concern for many Australians, but there is hope. Grow Clinics, the leading hair growth experts in Australia and New Zealand, with clinics in Melbourne, Sydney, Brisbane, the Gold Coast, Perth, and Auckland, can help you get your confidence back. Grow understands that hair loss is a sensitive issue, and that's why they offer personalised treatments designed to achieve the best possible results for each individual, whether you're experiencing male or female pattern hair loss. One of their most popular options is a minimally invasive hair transplant technique. Now, it's performed by highly skilled professionals. This virtually painless procedure leaves no noticeable scarring, and plus, with Grow's online consultation, starting your journey towards a fuller head of hair is convenient and accessible. Do not let hair loss hold you back any longer. Regain your confidence with Grow Clinics. Visit their website at growclinics.com.au or call them today to book a free consultation. That's growclinics.com.au, and defy genetics with Grow.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass f-. So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Many of us have those stubborn pounds that seem impossible to lose, no matter how good we eat or how hard we work out. My solution is PlushCare. PlushCare is a leading telehealth provider with doctors who are there for you day and night to partner with you in your weight loss journey. They can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Plus, they accept most insurance plans. To get started, visit plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss.
Brown.
Ponk. What was the moment, and feel free not to answer this, but what was the moment that broke you? Because we like talking about this on the podcast, because then it's sort of other people that have had that experience goes, yeah. Oh, shit, I've been there, I've done that.
Yeah, totally. Well, it was a series of things that happened in a very short period of time and probably within 3 months of each other. So, it was an end of a 10-year relationship. So, that was, you know, if you've ever gone through a difficult breakup or with someone for such a long period of time and then it ends, you kind of just, you almost feel weird for, you know, an extended period of time. I was involved in a business venture which went south. So, that pretty much imploded. Then also my family, particularly my brother-in-law, was going through a really difficult time. He was going through battling cancer at the time. I had a big falling out with my best friend. So there was all these things, and it happened, as I said, literally within like 3 months. And usually, you know, when something happens in one area of your life, you can turn to another area to help you get yourself through it. You know, but what I found at that time is like literally every area of my life was
shit.
Yeah, it was
all your pillars collapsed.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Right. Yeah. So I couldn't really turn to my family, even though I knew they would have been there for me, but they were going through more serious stuff. Right. Rightly so. They had to be there for my brother-in-law. So I didn't want to load them on what I was going through. Obviously, wasn't with my partner anymore. But my best friend, who I would turn to very often, couldn't do that. So I was literally just sitting there like going, geez, okay, it's me, myself and I. Well, what are we going to do about this? And yeah, that's when I had that Eat, Pray, Love moment. And it was literally a moment where I turned on the TV, I put on Netflix, and a documentary popped up about a guy named Ram Dass. Ram Dass is he's pretty well known in the meditation circles, but he's known for bringing a lot of the Eastern meditation practices in the 70s back from India into the West. So, he was a Harvard professor. He got kicked out of Harvard in the 70s for experimenting with psychedelics. So, off he went to India and he delved into meditation and brought a lot of that back. Anyway, cut a story short, he spent most of his time in a little town in the northern part of India up near the Himalayas called McLeod Ganj. And my surname's McLeod, and it was one of those moments where, as I said, everything was just going to shit, and I was just like, right, that's the sign. I'm going there. So, that's what I did. I booked a ticket where this guy went there in the 70s and he met a guru, his guru there, and I thought that was what was going to happen. So, I went to this little tiny little village in the foothills of the Himalayas in India and was walking around just hoping that a guru would pop out and save me. Yeah.
It did sound like a leprechaun or something. But what did happen while you were there?
Well, after that, you know, it didn't happen. I just decided to walk around and find, well, what could I find? So, there was a couple of meditation centers there. One was a Vipassana center, which is most famously known. Well, Vipassana is most famously known for their 10-day silent retreats. So, I gave that a crack.
How'd you go for 10 days? Did you do it?
It was a roller coaster. It's really weird.
So, is it actually, like, even when you're in your own downtime and you're by yourself, you can't just talk to yourself. You have to just remain completely silent.
They recommend that you don't. Yeah.
Yeah. Did you find yourself sitting there going, what the fuck have I done?
Yeah. So, no reading, no writing. It's all about introspection.
Oh, I can do that.
But sitting there, it's sitting there with yourself and just going, observing thoughts, the moment, your environment, what's going on, pretty much, without, you know, verbally talking about it.
Mm. Yeah, right.
Or conversing with someone else. So, yeah, like really threw myself into just the culture, because meditation over there is a big part of just their culture in general. And it was extraordinary. It unlocked a lot more of those deeper emotional components of meditation, which before then I hadn't really explored or was familiar with. And I was like, wow, okay, there's something really to this. Mm. And from there, I came back and I was like, I really want to just share this with other people. And that's kind of what I've been doing ever since.
For those that don't meditate or have tried and can't, how do you get yourself into that zone? Is there a trick to it? Is there a, or is it just literally like you were saying, practice makes perfect? Or can you teach yourself to get to that point? Because I would love to learn how to do it.
Yeah.
And I just, my.
He's got three kids, Luke, so he needs to figure this shit out quick.
Well, look, I'll give you a really, really simple exercise. We can do one right now if you'd like.
Please.
Oh, God. This works on a podcast. We're going to be quiet. That's good.
Yeah.
Well, our listeners will like this.
No. It's actually more of an interactive type of meditation or experience on how to kind of shift the mind into this more, I call it the neutral gear. Mm-hmm. Right.
Yeah.
Because there's different modes of the mind. And so I'll just ask you a series of questions and you just tell me what you notice.
Christo, this is for you. You give it a crack.
And just for those that might be listening to this while driving, just as a warning, be careful.
Maybe pull over.
Put it into neutral first.
Yeah.
Exactly. 100%.
All right.
Yeah.
I'm going. I'm prepped. I'm ready.
Yeah. Look, don't over like cook it. Just
don't overthink it. Yeah.
Yeah. Just tell me.
He's a notorious overthinker. So just stop it.
Those people tend to be the best type of meditators because it shows you that you have a healthy mind. You know, it's busy, so which is a good thing. All right, so this might sound a little bit weird, but just go with me. Give it a red hot crack. Okay. So all I want you to do is I just want you to see if you can really feel and notice at the very end point of your left index finger. What do you feel when you focus on that area, just at the very tip of your left index finger, if anything?
There's nothing. It's just sort of hanging out at the moment.
That's cool. All right. Any sensations? If you just kind of just – you can gaze away if you want, but just try to
I can feel the blood flow.
Ah, okay. What does that feel like?
Like pumping. Just gentle pumping. That sounds wrong, but you know what I mean.
Anything else? Yeah. Tingling sensations or pulse?
No, just it's a little bit of a tingle.
Okay, cool. Right, you just meditated.
Am I having a stroke?
No, you just meditated.
you did, because I was quite calm, because that's all I was thinking about in that moment. Wasn't anything else.
Great. Well, all you've done there is you've just shifted the mind into a feeling state. You've connected it with something in the here and now, right, the present moment. And we've used a bodily sensation to do that, which is like a sensation that whatever you noticed there at the tip of your finger – right, you've connected with that for a brief moment. That in itself is meditation. Right.
Okay, because everything else disappeared at that moment.
Exactly.
Because I was forcing myself to think of my index finger, which I don't think in my 48 years on the planet
I've
ever given any thought to the tip of my index finger.
I know, right? It's weird. But
so how do you get there then? I mean, if you're feeling overwhelmed and things like that, how do you stop in that moment and get to there? Like,
you just do that.
Yeah, great. Yeah.
Yeah, just do that. And you can do it with other things. Like a lot of people use their breath, right? They use the feeling of the air going in and out through their nose. Other people use different parts of their body. Other people use a mantra. Other people, you know, you can use anything which is right here, right now, and just focus and feel and connect with that. Now, the tricky part is staying connected with it. That's where most people kind of like, they can do it for a few seconds and then they go, they a question comes into their head and they're like, am I doing this right? What's going on here? And then back into the thinking mode of the mind you go. And once you notice that you wandered off or you're questioning yourself or something like that, you just go, oh, yeah, cool. And then you just direct your focus back to that sensation, that feeling, whatever it is. And the more you do that, the way I like to see it is that you're just doing reps.
Yeah.
Right. The more reps you're doing, the more times you feel that sensation, you bring your focus back to that, the more you're strengthening your awareness and your connection with the present moment. It's what I like to call stacking. So you're stacking those small moments of connection. So when you felt that sort of blood flow or that sensation there, right, that's a connection of or a moment of consciousness that you're connected here now. Right. And then your mind will wander off, sure enough, or a thought will come in. Yeah, cool. And then you bring it back. Find another moment, connection, sensation, whatever it is, then you stack that on top of that. And you're stacking all these little moments of connection here and now on top of each other. And sure enough, that adds up to a pretty nice stack of consciousness here and now.
Is there an ideal period of time to meditate per day, or that's up to the person?
Well, it's particularly when starting out, probably the shorter the better, because you know you tend to get frustrated or you'll have more interruptions, which is totally fine. It's part of the process, right? It's part of like it's falling off your surfboard all the time. Like you're going to do that a lot more at the beginning than later on when you're better at it, right? So, you know, I recommend when you're starting out, aim for about 5 minutes, go to 10 minutes after a few weeks or a month or two. I think actually the sweet spot, if you can work your way up to between 15 to 20 minutes, is probably the sweet spot.
That'd be way better time spent than just scrolling on Instagram or social media for 15 minutes. Because, I mean, I guess in today's world, this is where meditation is so important, because we're continually getting those dopamine hits from scrolling on social media. So I guess to spend 15 minutes to disconnect from that alone would be beneficial.
Hey, tell me about it. Yeah, like 100%. It's a lot harder, but it's certainly a lot more well worth it.
They should be teaching this stuff in schools, like, because, I mean, I'm worried about the next generation of kids coming through that are so hooked on their devices and so, you know, their minds just never shut off.
Yeah. Well, I read the other day that our attention span now, humans' attention span, is worse than a goldfish. You know how I always say, you've got a memory of a goldfish? Like the average attention span of a goldfish, I think, is about 9 seconds. The average attention span of a human now is about 8 seconds.
Is it? So we need to do 8 second podcasts then, don't we?
Yeah. We'll keep, something every 8 seconds. Like,
sorry, what were we talking about?
I knew you were a dad joke. Yeah. My God.
Focus on your left index finger.
Yeah, your index finger, Christo. Yeah, index
back
finger.
Brown Punk.
As always, a huge thank you to our sponsors, Grow Clinics. Now, if you're tired of looking in the mirror and seeing your hair thinning, you're not alone. Hair loss affects millions of Australians, but the good news is there are solutions. Grow Clinics can help you get your hair back. They're the leading hair growth experts in Australia and New Zealand, with clinics in Melbourne, Sydney, Brisbane, Gold Coast, Perth and Auckland. At Grow, they understand that hair loss can be a sensitive issue. That's why they offer a variety of personalised treatments, all designed to give you the best possible results. So whether you're experiencing male or female pattern hair loss, they have a solution for you. One of the most popular options is a minimally invasive hair transplant. It's virtually painless, performed by highly skilled professionals, and leaves no noticeable scarring. With Grow's online consultation, starting your journey towards a fuller head of hair has never been easier. So don't wait any longer. Get the confidence back that you deserve with Grow Clinics. Visit their website at growclinics.com.au or give them a call today to book a free consultation. That's growclinics.com.au. Grow Clinics, defy genetics with Grow.
Hey, while we've got your attention,
listen up.
We just want to ask a quick favour. If you could go to your podcast provider, wherever you're listening to this, and write a lovely review, give it a rating, do whatever you can, we would be most appreciative.
Or even at the very least, just hit that little subscribe button so then the episodes, when we release them, come up in your feed.
Exactly. That is all. Back to the show.
As you were.
Thank you.
Brown.
So what's mindfulness then? Because that's a term that's bandied around a lot, and people are like, you have to be mindful.
Yeah, I see mindfulness as the result of meditating. So it can often be confused that you can do a mindfulness type of meditation, but I prefer to see it as mindfulness is the result of meditation. Hmm. All right, so you become more mindful, you're living a more mindful life. And what that is I see it as a more aware life, right? So, you're just not in this autopilot mode all the time, which we are so constantly in. You know, people in their later parts of their life, they just go, oh, where's my whole life gone?
Yeah, goes by in the blink of an eye, yeah.
Yeah, they're like, or like, where did the last 10 years go? Mm. Like, what? What happened there? Yeah. Because we're just so just on this autopilot mode. We're just kind of just skipping through life without even fully aware of what's going on in our day-to-day. It's experiencing life. That's what it is.
And do you think that's less now because people are so busy on their devices? Like, I mean, if you go to a waterfall or something, most people, well, a lot of people are there filming it rather than being present and actually being mindful that they're there looking at a waterfall rather than, hey, this is going to look great on Instagram.
Totally. Yeah. I call it a disease, which is called unawareitis in the book, and how it's deteriorating our mind, body and souls. And there's three main causes of unawareitis that I write about in the book. The first one is social media. I think in the last 20 years, it has had a huge, and research backs this up, massive impact on our cognitive functioning.
Yeah.
Oh, it does. Yeah.
Right. And it's probably the most topical one, but it's a really serious one. And sure, I'm first to put my hand up and say, like, it's not all bad. I use social media and will continue to use it. It's just that if we're unaware of these detrimental parts of it and what it can do, it can have a really big impact on our mental health. The other two S's, because I call it a triple S threat. The second one, very broadly, but I think it's true, is the, and to not get too conspiracy theorist here, but the system in society.
Are you talking to the right guy here? I'm with you.
Yeah, you love it.
Yeah, the power constructs around us, right, which has influenced massively how we think, where our attention goes, and how we feel as well, and the type of people we are. So I talk about that as the second big threat. And then the third threat is suppressants, which, again, things like alcohol, which I don't mind a glass of wine myself as well. I'm not going to condemn alcohol or anything like that, suppressants. But they're a huge part of most of our lives, and they have this suppressant effect on our cognitive functioning and our overall level of awareness, keeping us less than who we are and what we are capable of.
And what about ayahuasca? I mean... we've spoken about it a bit on the podcast before. A guy we interviewed, Jason Field, you know, introduced us to it, and I went down a bit of a rabbit hole on it. What are your thoughts
on it? You haven't tried it yet.
I went down the rabbit hole of investigating it and things like that. Being in your field, what are your, like, where do you stand on that? Do you see the benefits in it, or you think that's sort of like a suppressant thing, or where are you at with that?
It's certainly an incredible plant, or the psychedelic, which can have profound influences and impact on your mental state, and just like other psychedelics can have as well. And we're seeing that now, even in the medical industry, are starting to turn to things like psilocybin out of magic mushrooms to use that to treat things like PTSD, different compounds out of marijuana, the CBT, and use that to help with depression. These plants have incredible healing, helpful abilities. Ayahuasca is one of the more extreme ones. The part I don't like about it is that it's become just a bit of a trend.
Sure.
It's almost seen as a cool thing to do.
Yeah.
You know, like, and meditation also has kind of gone that way a little bit as well. I wouldn't be recommending you do that if you were just feeling really anxious and
depressed. It could tip you over the edge, couldn't it?
100%, yeah. I think there's a lot more you can do before going there, like meditation. I think meditation is a very safe, very easy practice you can do that's going to slowly and safely open up a lot of that stuff or what is going on inside, which needs to be sorted out. The whole process of meditation isn't about achievement. It's about surrendering. Like, the more you try with meditation, the more it's not going to work for you.
Yeah,
I know that sounds funny, but that's just how it is. It's, as I said, a process of letting go.
I believe that because I've tried it and I couldn't do it. And then you've done one simple exercise and I've gone, hey.
Yeah. Yeah. And the more you probably would have tried to do it, the more you would have been turned off it. You would have been just
well, because you get frustrated. You go, can't relax. Why can't I relax? Why can't I switch off?
Yeah, exactly.
Whereas
forget
finding
it.
A point to concentrate on was you know, very easy way to quickly do it.
Yeah, yeah. Just
And I could go for a nap right now.
Yeah.
Just quickly, do you think that a lot of what ails us as a society now, like, you know, there's a high rate of burnout, there's a high rate of just stress, could all be tackled well with meditation? Do you think it would knock the levels of anxiety, the levels of stress, the level of burnout down if people just took a little bit of moments every day? A little bit of moments is not English, but you know what I mean.
Yeah,
a little moment every day to just find themselves and center themselves?
100%. Yeah, I do. Mm. It can be life-changing. It is. I've seen it. Not just in my own life, but in other people's lives. Just with the right guidance, I think support, it can really do that for you. And this is where I think, well, what I'm really hoping and trying to do is to bring that to people, because there's still a lot of confusion out there with it. I think there's a lot of misunderstanding of different techniques, you know, and people get frustrated with it. I can understand that, because there's so much tradition in it, which like thousands of years, and people are trying to do practices which are confusing or too spiritual, or people have gotten on this whole trend where it just seems a bit too fake and fluffy. Mm-hmm. And I'm just trying to, as I said earlier, normalize it and make it a lot easier and relatable. With like what we just did, that tiny example of just, you know, bringing ourselves into the moment. And hopefully the book does that. And I take people through a process on how they can follow, like the different stages or where I'd recommend you start with, or the type of meditation you start with, and then you progress through different types if you want to go that direction with it.
I can't wait. Seriously. I'm excited.
Good.
Well, the book is called Everyday Enlightenment. It is out now. The app is also called Soul Alive. You can go and find that on your app store. Luke McLeod, thank you very much for your teachings, your wisdom.
You're the man.
Ground Park podcast today.
Mate, I really enjoyed it. You guys are legends, and I love the work that you guys are doing as well. You're really putting out a good message, so keep it up.
Thanks, man. Appreciate it.
The Brown Podcast.
Why are you happy?
Because I don't want to be sad.
The biggest names in tennis are coming to Paris for the most anticipated Roland Garros in years. Tennis Channel Plus is your place to watch. Stream every court from your phone or smart TV live in HD. Experience 3 weeks of unparalleled tournament access as the world's top players in tennis face off against each other. Will the veteran champions continue their dominance, or will a fresh face emerge to challenge their legacy on the clay courts? Daily live coverage of this epic showdown begins Monday, May 20th. Don't miss a matchup. Stream it now with Tennis Channel Plus to be there when it happens.
Planning for your next trip?
Elevate your travel style with Quince.
Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Imagine the softest sheets you've ever felt. Now imagine them getting even softer over time. That's what you'll feel with Boll & Branch's organic cotton sheets. In a recent customer survey, 96% replied that Boll & Branch sheets get softer with every wash. Start getting your best night's sleep in these sheets that get softer and softer for years to come. Try their sheets with a 30-night guarantee. Plus, get 15% off your first order at bollandbranch.com. Code BUTTERY. Exclusions apply. See site for details.